Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good afternoon. It is 1:05. Sorry, there has been no news. Our newsreader's decided to help himself to an afternoon off. Go and enjoy this beautiful sunshine. I've got lots coming up. I do have giveaways galore, so stay with me. We've got a very busy hour between now and 2 o'clock, including the fabulous Pete Evans and Gavin Baker. Well, good afternoon. Yes, we are talking cravings. It is almost 1:06 here on Joy 94.9. Pete Dillon with you. No news today. They say no news is good news. And so we didn't have any news at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. There was the last news at 12. And news will be back at 5 o'clock this afternoon here on the gayest station in the nation, Joy 94.9. I will be with you until 2 o'clock. Also, coming up very soon, a chat with two fabulous folks, Pete Evans and Gavin Baker, who have a new venue called Bar Nacional, which is down in Collins Square. It's on the Docklands end of Collins Street, and it is, well, it's a nice little place to go and visit, and this new venue of theirs launched officially the other night, and really good fun. Also, I will be speaking with Anne Houlihan. She is from the Royal Melbourne Wine Week. There's a great deal of stuff coming up with Melbourne Wine Week, which kicks off on October 25. We're going to be talking all things Wine Week with her. There's some great events. The judging has happened over the last couple of days. There's been people sniffing and spitting and doing all sorts of things with wine. So there, who's going to be joining us today? But ladies and gentlemen, I have stuff to give away. So between now and 2 o'clock, I'll be giving away three fabulous prizes. The first of those prizes is the Sustain Natural and Organic Show 2013. It's a natural and organic lifestyle show. If you are into things organic, as we spoke about last week and we will touch on briefly, I think, with Pete Evans this week, given he is an ambassador for National Organic Week. Saturday 19 and Sunday 20 at the Royal Exhibition Building, the Carlton Gardens, next week, there'll be cooking demonstrations by chefs and organic foods, and you can try organic wines and you can buy organic stuff. The winner will attend one day, either Saturday or Sunday, and we are giving away a double pass to that event. So that's on next weekend. If you can go to that event, listen in over the course of the hour. We're going to be talking with Pete Evans, and I'm sure we can talk something organic for you to win that prize. Next up, another prize. This one's valued, a double pass valued at $110, thanks to Melbourne Wine Week, who we'll be talking to a little later in the show. It's a cheese and Rhone style wine evening in a France versus Australia tasting. This is happening at Milk the Cow. It's on at Fitzroy Street in St Kilda, 27th of October, 7 till 9 p.m. That's thanks to Melbourne Wine Week. You can win that between now and 2 o'clock. That's one of the prizes. And the final prize, good heavens, we are literally inundated with prize giveaways today. This is a double pass valued at $190. It's also from Melbourne Wine Week. It's a winemaker dinner with Kath Queeley, who is from, she does Queeley Wines and Pobblebonk, and was also instrumental in the formation of a winery called Tregallant with her husband Kevin McCarthy, and they produced the Pinot Gris, Pinot Grigio Scale, an absolute legend of the Victorian wine industry. This is a winemaker dinner with Kath Queeley at Red Spice Road. That's on the 29th of October at 6:30 p.m. It's also a double pass, and it's valued at $190. So three fabulous prizes with $400 odd just to give away in this one show between now and 2 o'clock. There's several ways for you to win. You can send me a text message, 0427JOY949. That's 0427JOY949. That's the number for an SMS. You can send me through one of those. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone 1300JOY949. Mushin is sitting at the desk eagerly awaiting your call. Or you can indeed send a tweet to cravings_joy949. Any one of those ways will get us, and all you have to do is give us a bit of an indication of what is your favourite thing when it comes to wine from Victoria, your favourite Victorian wine, if you have one. If you don't drink wine, you can still enter anyway. So anyway, between now and 2 o'clock, you must be a member, of course, of Joy 94.9. I'll be willing to sign up on the phone. Have not won a prize in the last 2 weeks, and I think that's about all we... All we have to tell you is that you kind of won a prize in the last 2 weeks. You must be a new member or be willing to join. Sorry, you must be an existing member or be willing to become a Joy member on the phone. 1300JOY949 is the telephone number. Email onair@joy.org.au or phone, or sorry, or send a message to cravings_joy949 on the Twitters. Oh, I'm glad I've got through all of that. We might have a little bit of music just to kick off with. We are talking all things Spanish, so we're going to have a little bit of Enrique Iglesias, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of Enrique. This is I Like It, featuring Pitbull. It's a great track. I hope you can get to dance around. We'll be back very shortly to talk to Pete Evans and Gavin Baker here on the gayest station in the nation. This is Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
14 minutes past one here on Joy 94.9. That track was I Like It, Enrique Iglesias featuring Pitbull. I do have these prizes to give away. Don't forget, you can win a double pass to the Organic Show, sorry, the Sustain Natural and Organic Show next weekend at the Royal Exhibition Building Gardens. You can also win a cheese and Rhone style wine evening in a France versus Australia tasting at Milk the Cow in Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. That's happening on the 27th of October. Or you can win a dinner with at Red Spice Road with Queeley Wines. That's on the 29th of October. Two of those prizes, thank you to Melbourne Wine Week. One, thanks to the Organic Expo. Folks, all you need to do is send me an SMS, 0427JOY949. You can email onair@joy.org.au. You can phone Mushin 1300JOY949. Or you can send a tweet to cravings_949. All I need to know is, ladies and gentlemen, what is your favourite Victorian wine?
Bonjour, I am Gabriel Gatte. You are listening to Cravings with Peter Dillon on Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Two gentlemen who have visited us before in this studio and who I'm very pleased to say are held in very high regard by myself and many others who listen, Pete Evans and Gavin Baker. Pete Evans, you may know, he's been around for a few years, does all sorts of things, including a little TV show on Channel 7 called My Kitchen Rules with a bloke called Manu. They have good fun, apparently. And also with him, Gavin Baker. You've met Gavin before. He is an American. He's an import to Australia, but we're very, very pleased to have him. They launched a new venture that we're going to talk about very shortly. Pete, welcome back to Cravings. I don't remember how many times you've been.
Thank you, Pete. I think this is probably our fifth time.
Yeah, we hear you every week doing a little announcement for you, which is great. And Gavin, welcome back. It's good to have you back in.
Thank you. It's lovely to be back.
It's a joy to have you in because there's something, and I've been wanting to have you both in because you together, this is a wonderful team, but individually you both have such interesting stories to tell. Gavin, I think last time we spoke you had just come back from London for the funeral of a couple of your mates from the Fat Duck.
Oh, I did. It was then, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a sad time, for sure.
A very sad time, and something that I don't think any chef or anyone would really get over when you lose two mates tragically like that. How have things been since? Did this bring you back together with some of your former colleagues from the Fat Duck?
Yeah, absolutely. We have some trips planned this summer. About a month and a half, I go back to Spain to spend some time with some guys. We all sort of scattered you know, after about a year or so, we went different directions. So it was a good time to get back together. It's a horrible situation to have to get back together.
But it's remarkable how these things can provide the genesis or the catalyst for the rebonding of friendships.
It is, and it's also remarkable that I actually have a newfound respect for Facebook, because I absolutely hated it until then.
Stalkbook, as we like to call
it. And then,
you
know, that was the only way that I found out, and then everybody got together on it, so I've decided I'm not going to cancel my account. Just
good work.
Leave it open.
Good work. Good work. My sister for many years fought Facebook until there was a school reunion plan, so she decided to join Facebook, and now she's just kind of a little addicted to it. So, you know, she's in her mid-50s, and everything I post, there's all of a sudden she likes it. So it's quite bizarre. Quite bizarre indeed. And Pete, you've been, apart from My Kitchen Rules, which we know you for, and of course, building and creating restaurant empires that you do, you're an ambassador for National Organic Week, which finishes, I know, tomorrow. But what does that mean? What do you do as an ambassador?
Myself and Costa.
Costa?
Yes, who's fantastic.
He's hilarious.
We've come on board to be the ambassadors for Australian Organic School Program, which is fantastic. We have about 1,500 schools already signed up, and it's about similar to like the Stephanie Alexander program. We're taking it a little bit step further, where we're including nutrition, and it's really about teaching the kids where food comes from. I mean, any of these programs that can teach the young kids of Australia the real definition of food just has my support wholly and solely.
And what does it mean when you become an ambassador for something, you're a spokesperson? What does it mean to have a name like yours associated with a campaign?
Well, I guess I can reach a lot of people by using my name, which is fantastic. So, for instance, I've just did a talk at Coogee Public School up in Sydney. I also did one.
Did you get a surf in before or after?
No, I didn't actually. And one in Perth. I mean, my goal for next year is to talk to about 100 to 200 schools, and but not just to the kids. I've realised that kids are important, but you've got to have the families there. You've got to have the parents there, the people that actually decide what goes into the shopping trolley. Sure. I mean, kids are a lot smarter usually than parents, and they would much rather eat the healthy stuff than the crap.
Yeah, which is a good thing. I think we're actually seeing a decline in one of the very large chain restaurants has had some small decline in sales as compared to previous years. And I think this is in some senses due to the work that people like yourself and Manu and others do in encouraging people, consumers, be through the wonderful medium of television about real food. And Gavin, jump in here when you get a second. I think the genesis of the television programs that we watch and the increase of food programs on our televisions bring a better understanding of the provenance of food, where it comes from, how it's treated, and what we do with it. And I think kids are starting to understand that peas actually come in a pod rather than a plastic bag in the supermarket freezer.
Yeah, it's changed things dramatically from, you know, where we were, say, even 10 years ago to where we are now. Well, just everyone sort of they go into the grocery stores with this list of things that they never had before, you know, all these exotic ingredients.
Well, we're eating things like sprouted quinoa.
Yeah.
We're having, you know, every function I go to now, there's someone serving a quinoa salad in one way or another, rather than what we were getting 5 years ago, which was, you know, a deep fried scallop or something along those lines. So,
Wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, bring that on. I think we're starting to understand that there is a greater variety. And we're seeing ancient grains like spelt and farro.
Amaranth.
And these things that we'd never heard of 5 years ago are now part of our diet.
Well, the next step is now to get the communities actually buying from the local farmers. I mean, I had a great experience last weekend. I took the kids out to Dural, which is, you know, half an hour drive out of Sydney.
Southern Highlands. It's,
and no, that's Barrel, but similar. They ended the same 3 letters, I think. but I took the kids out to this farm, this organic farm that's set up for a community. So they look after 200 people. The community or the members pay the money to the farmers, so that the farmers have in before the season has started. So the farmers get have their income. So they're not governed, but they pre-buy. Yeah, and it was wonderful. And my kids went out there and they picked strawberries for half an hour, and they've never tasted strawberries like it.
Yeah.
And that, on a grand scale, I mean, that was the best toy or the best experience the kids have had for, you know, for that day. Mm. You know, it's better than the iPad. It's better than the movies. It's better than anything.
It's better than an Xbox, a Wii, da-da-da-da-da.
It's famous in decline, though.
And, I think it's coming back. Mm. Well, it is coming back with dedicated farmers and sure. community-minded people.
And people what like does, Marty Boats and what he's doing in the Hawkesbury with his farm. He stepped away from kitchens and is now concentrating on growing stuff.
Yeah, it's exactly. And kids remember that stuff. Mm. They remember that time that they went out to pick a strawberry or they tasted it. You know, it locks into their psyche.
We've planted a small garden. We've got a bit of a backyard and we've planted a small garden where we've got some tomatoes, some strawberries, some beans and obviously some zucchinis. Or I don't know quite what they are. They look like zucchini plants or pumpkin plants, some sort of courge. So that our kids have an understanding that you can grow food, pick it and eat it, and it's there. I mean, they see it with the lemon tree to some degree, but I think that's important. And I think the other thing I wanted to touch on with both of you, Monsanto has just been awarded a Nobel Prize, and anybody who knows anything about food knows that Monsanto are the big, bad, evil guys, the Gargamel to our Smurfs. Mm-hmm.
That's a little depressing, I think.
It's very depressing, isn't it?
What was it for?
I think it may have been a science prize, but it's...
Now, this is the same Monsanto that went into the seed bank in the 70s in the U.S. and patented seeds.
Mm. And these are the guys that have led the charge of genetically modified food.
Yeah.
And part of my brain can see the sense for genetically modified food to feed the portion of the world that is starving. But when we put it all out on paper, we have enough food to feed the world.
Sure. And it's not good. You need native crops.
Mm.
I mean, that's otherwise it takes more and more chemicals and more fertilizers and more water.
And what does Monsanto sell?
Yeah, chemicals. For sure.
Mm.
And Terminator genes. That's what they're famous for. It's genetically modifying seeds so they can't reproduce, so you're forced to go back to them to buy more seeds.
It's morally corrupt and how that esteemed committee can do something like that. It sort of brings me around to what I want to talk about, which is your new venture is Cordoba Nacional, and this is a Spanish focus. Now, neither of you are Spanish. No. I think we can say that quite comfortably. We can say hola and can I have some beer cerveza?
I watched a show about Spain once. Does that count?
I told you not to watch those ones.
So I guess my question, how do a couple of white boys decide that Spanish is what they want to do? Pete, you had a good answer before we came on air.
We're chefs. I mean, Gavin and I have been living and breathing food for, you know, combined probably 50 years, half a century together.
Scary, isn't it?
Yeah, showing our age.
I know.
You sound so young on the microphone.
I've just celebrated 30 years
really?
Associated with food and beverage.
That's amazing.
In one way or another.
We've nearly got a century here.
I know.
We could.
And I think I'm the eldest.
That's amazing.
But as I said, we're chefs and we live and breathe it. And the beautiful thing about being a chef is you take inspiration from all over the world, from your travels, through eating out at other restaurants, through reading, through produce. And I guess it's like you, Pete. I mean, you work in a radio station. I'm sure you don't just listen to Black Samba or something like that listen to anything else. And it's the same as chefs. We love to experiment with different cultures and cuisines. And
I'm not sure who Black Samba is.
I just made it up. I was looking at Pete and I just got an image of
Black
Samba.
Yeah, because I look like a Black Samba dancer. Thanks.
I just had these crazy visuals and they weren't music related. But
so Spanish is something I've always wanted to try out in a restaurant and delve into, and Gavin and I were discussing it, and he said the same thing. He loves San Sebastian.
Oh yeah,
I've been there four times.
Who doesn't like
one
San
of the best
Sebastian.
Places on earth? I'm going there in a couple of weeks.
You rub it in.
That's called research, and it's going to be built back to the restaurant piece.
I'm going to
Wagga Wagga. It's an expense. I can write it off.
Yeah, good. I get a trip to Sydney for a day.
So it was about. I mean, the stalwarts in Melbourne, Mervita, of course, and Ballerino, Matt and Frank do, and I guess we were hesitant about. It's not about going up
against them, but they've set the benchmark, which is fantastic. And Gavin and I discussed it at length about how we should attack this and put our own Spanish stamp into Melbourne. And you might want to describe it.
Well, what I want to do is just take a little break, boys, and I'll come back and we can discuss the restaurants in more depth. Pete Evans and Gavin Baker are my guests. The new venture in Collins Square called Bar Nacional. You'll love my Spanish pronunciation. This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. We will momentarily return to discuss what Bar Nacional is all about with Pete and Gavin.
Joy 94.9.
Don't forget, folks, I've got giveaways today here on Cravings on Joy 94.9, where it's 28 minutes to 2. You can win a double pass to the Natural and Organic show that is happening next weekend at the Royal Exhibition Buildings in Carlton. You can, of course, win a cheese and Rhone style wine evening at a France versus Australia event at Milk the Cow. That's happening on the 27th of October. And on the 29th of October, a winemaker dinner with Kath Queeley at Red Spice Road in Melbourne. That's valued at $190. You can win any one of those three prizes. All I need you to do is let me know what is your favourite wine right here in Victoria, because we are going to talk very shortly with Anne Ulan. She is from the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards. But before we do that, let's continue our discussion with these two lovely fellows in the studio, Pete Evans and Gavin Baker.
It is a glorious Saturday afternoon here on Joy 94.9. Pete Dillon with you here until 2 o'clock before the lovely team from Escape Pod take over and take you travelling. We're talking all things Spanish food, and in particular Bar Nacional, with Pete Evans and Gavin Baker. They are both here in the studio with me. And Collins Square. This is a sort of newish area that you guys have gone into. Tell us a little bit about Collins Square, and we'll come back and talk about the influences in Bar Nacional.
Well, it has the wonderful advantage of being on the Docklands side of Collins.
Excellent.
Which is, I think it's fantastic. It's a bit of a frontier over there. It's large. It's the largest. It's Australia's largest mixed-use commercial development. It's about 10,000 square meters of retail, tons of office space, five towers. It's a project that's been going on now for a couple of years, and it's got, I think, 2-3 years left.
Yep.
So it's becoming quite the hub. It's an internal city, the first of its kind down there. So.
What made this a viable choice for you both?
Lang was very convincing.
this is the money partner, yes.
Yeah, he's Lang Walker is the developer behind Collins Square, and he cornered Pete and I one day and said, "I want you guys to come down here and open some restaurants." And I think we kind of looked at each other and said, "What the hell are you talking about? You know, you're in the Docklands." But he was very convincing, very passionate, certainly believed in what he was doing.
And he's had major success with his other developments up in Sydney, such as Woolloomooloo Wharf and King Street Wharf.
Yeah, well, you can't complain about either of those, really, can you?
He hasn't had too many misses.
No,
I don't think he's had any misses, to be honest with you.
No, it's the right. It's all the right ingredients, and for us, I think it was an opportunity to try out a couple of different options. We have Bar Nacional, and then we have a few more in the works. But it was an
any
opportunity.
Any hints you can give me? I love an exclusive.
More good food.
You heard it right here first, folks, on Cravings. More good food coming from these two boys.
But what we're attempting to do here is create a dining destination in that part of Melbourne, not just for the office workers, but for all Melburnians.
Yeah. Nationally, internationally.
Well, we need to support Docklands.
Absolutely.
And right along from the beginning of Docklands, from Docklands Way all the way along, you know, there are businesses sitting there with four-leaf signs on them, which is sad, because it's such a beautiful place to sit, particularly in summer, sit outdoors, see a bit of water, have something to eat.
Well, as you know, with the CBD here, it's a nightmare to get around from one side to the other, whereas the beautiful part about Collins Square is it's easy access. Whether it's from tram, train, or boat. Car.
Can I bring my little boat in?
You can kayak.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
You know, it's really interesting. We heard all the horror stories, of course, you know, don't go into the Docklands, you'll never come back, you know, these types of stories. And
well, what you've provided is a new place for me to go before and after the football.
It's fantastic. It's more than that, though. I mean, when we first opened, there wasn't much around there that you could eat past, say, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. And then when we opened, which has only been 2.5 weeks ago, it's just been a tremendous outpouring. I mean, we have to turn people away on Fridays because there's just simply nowhere else to put them.
Wow.
So it's really, it is fantastic. It's just gone over like hotcakes.
And we are closed on weekends. We're doing gentleman hours, Monday to Friday.
Monday
breakfast,
to Friday.
Lunch and dinner.
Monday to
Shut
Friday.
Up. I can't come and do something when I go to the football.
Oh, we'll
You're open especially for me. That's very, very kind of you.
Just send us a little memo and we'll put
a team there's two games on at Etihad Stadium every weekend. Mm. You need to rethink that.
Well, we'll get there. No, we always intended to open on Saturday. We're just taking our time. We're not in any rush.
Mm.
So it's good.
So talk us through the influence. The influence, Busk?
Yeah, definitely Busk. Definitely San Sebastian. Mm. We had to westernize it a bit in the sense that pinchos don't quite work like we would want them to.
Mm.
They work fine in San Sebastian when you've got a bar full of them. You know, it just doesn't do what we need it to do.
Do you want to define pinchos?
Pinchos are very small bikes, typically on sticks. So
I love food on sticks.
And they're typically, on the bar when you go in and those things. And there's things that you can do, certainly like that. We tried it once, and we ended up just giving them away. So we stick more with the tapa and the raciones.
Mm-hmm.
So for us... it's
so tapa small raciones are larger, more
and we've actually made them a little bit bigger anyway for this. So it's just a tiny bit more substantial, but definitely San Sebastian, and more than just the food style, the entire approach was something that we wanted, which was that open at 7:30 in the morning, close at 9 o'clock at night, and just serve food all day. So it's that sort of Spanish taverna. You can come in the middle of the day at any time and have a coffee or a beer and something to eat. It's one menu all day, and it's just
I love hearing.
We've got Tempranillo on tap, which is
Tempranillo on tap.
Special.
Excellent. And that's
sangria on tap.
A Spanish Tempranillo and not an Australian made. Yes. How much Australian made wine is in it forms part of your list?
It's about 35%.
Okay.
And the rest of it's Spanish. So we're only going to Australia and to Spain for that. And we have a tremendous Spanish beer list.
I love Spanish beer.
I essentially selected everyone that I could get in the country, I think.
Mm.
And we have a Stella on tap as well, which is wonderful.
I love it.
And we've got a little jamon station on the bar with hand-cut Iberico.
It is a shame you're not open Saturday, because we could finish this show, go down there, and I could sort of spend the rest of the afternoon just stuffing my face.
It's about work-life balance.
Yeah, perfectly reasonable. It is. So, obviously, produce that we were talking about in the previous part of our discussion, a very important focus.
Sure.
You want to talk about the garden?
Yeah, definitely the garden. But before I get to the garden, I do want to let you know that I remember the last time that we spoke, I was just continually amazed at the quality of the produce. That hasn't waned any. It's still
excellent.
It's just been a very, very fortunate country. I don't know if everyone here knows that, but it certainly is a fortunate country with the wealth of things that you can choose from.
I was having a discussion, I think it was last week, when I started talking about National Organic Week, which we're on the end of, and Pete, you're involved in. We have such diverse microclimates, and even if we just look at Victoria and Tasmania as a little pocket, we have these diverse microclimates where up on the Murray River, just across into New South Wales, they're growing organic rice.
Oh, wow.
Which tastes fantastic.
That's fantastic.
They're growing avocados in Barham, which is up again in the same area. Avocados are traditionally come from Queensland, so we pay a little more for them because of transport and the way they're picked and the way that, that they've got to ripen. But we can have them delivered to our door from 250 k's away.
That's great.
We've got rice growing a couple of hundred kilometres away. So all of these wonderful microclimates do mean that we can produce so much more food. We supply half the country with some amazing lettuce and leaves, and they just grow in near the sewage in Werribee. That's 20 kilometres out the road. Beautiful, wonderful produce. Sorry, I don't need to convince you, I know.
No, that's okay.
We're very fortunate.
We do have, in the Collins Square development, there's lots of footprints where towers will be, and there's one that is probably about 3 years away. It's been gifted to us by the Walker Corps. So we've started developing a garden in that space, which, along with our compost plan for what we have inside of Collins Square, means that we can actually grow our own food, but we'll grow it out of our own compost. And approach pushing towards zero waste, if possible. So,
which is, in a city like Melbourne, zero waste is incredibly important.
Yeah, and for a project the size of the one that we're involved in, it's pretty amazing as well. So.
The voices you can hear, those are of Gavin Baker and Pete Evans. They're here talking about Bar Nacional, their new venture, and we'll explore all sorts of things as we continue over the next little while. How hard is it for you guys to start a restaurant in a climate where we're seeing restaurants close, we're seeing restaurateurs lose, you know, millions of dollars? It's less than a year since Justin North walked away from a $4 million debt, of which almost $1 million was in staff entitlements and superannuation. Listening to the radio yesterday, John Fain talking to the Restaurant and Caterers Association, who had gone to the Fair Work Tribunal to remove penalty rates because penalty rates are such an expensive part of a business. How hard is it to open a restaurant in this day and age when there are so many of these factors that are of great concern?
Well, it's always going to be an issue. It always has. You know, I think in any situation, there's always room. I'm always continually amazed when I go to the grocery store and there's another variety of jam, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no effing way there's going to be more jam on the shelf. But yet, then when I try it, I'm like, this jam is the best jam I've ever had. And then, you know, so it really... The cream rises to the top, I think, and it just, there's always room for passionate people that are doing what they care about and doing it well, and that have a good rapport with the community, you know. So it's I think if we worried all the time about all the things that could go wrong, we just would never leave the house.
No, we wouldn't. We'd be stuck inside. Pete, you've been doing this for a few years now. You talked about a couple of decades, I think, before of being a restaurateur, and I think penalty rates have always been a part of what we do. Rent has always been a part of what we do. You know, there's always
very
been
small
fixed
margins
costs.
In running restaurants.
Oh, there is. And if you can make a 2% profit annually, you're doing a really good job. Why would you do it? why do so many people think this is a good idea? Let's open another restaurant. And unless you're someone like Andrew McConnell, who seems to just have a Midas touch, and everything he opens is turning to gold, which is great. Good on him. I love Andrew. I hold him in very, very high regard. It just strikes me as is almost an exercise in futility to open a venue when you do have penalty rates. And I support penalty rates. I think they should exist. You have really high rent. You have, you know, all of these amazing fixed costs, and you walk away and you're making 2%. You get better putting your money under the mattress.
Yeah, but I also think it comes down to, as Gavin said, it comes down to people that are passionate about what they do that probably don't have a choice to do anything. This is what they're born to do.
Yeah,
you know. And if you look in our kitchen at Bar Nacional, we've got what I think is the strongest team that I've ever seen in any of the restaurants I've been associated with. It's a very small team, but they're multi-talented, and they work together as one breathing unit. I mean, if you had have been there last night, Pete, for the launch, you would have experienced...
as a single parent, I'm out of here.
I can't. You would have experienced some wonderful, wonderful food. And
well, let's talk a little bit about that team. You've got Alex Drobes of DB Bistro.
Drobes. That's Polish, I found.
I knew I'd say that right. Wrong. Melbourne pastry chef Sean Quaid and Joe Barrett formerly from Movida. I mean, that's a fairly impressive.
It is. I mean, Alex is a bit of a phenom. Very quiet, very soft-spoken. Just a very humble guy. Prior to me, he was 4 years with Danielle Ballou, and then prior to that, he was 3.5 years with Gordon Ramsay, including Hospital Row.
Well, that'll beat anything out of you working with Gordon Ramsay, won't it?
Yeah, I told him last night that he's probably got a very good set of bulletproof skills. And you know, Sean's amazing. Sean's done some of the best pastries I've had anywhere, dessert wise. And you know, he was at the Royal Mail for a few years, and I believe he was running around and Key at some point in that. I'm not sure. I won't swear to that. And Joe made the best loaf of bread I think I've ever eaten. I did steal her, I think, from Movida Bakery, but don't tell them that.
You've borrowed her indefinitely. I think stealing is such a...
She's making you proud.
Such a connotation.
but that's our starting team, and also a chef in there called Nathan, who's been running his own restaurant in Spain for the last few years. And from that team, we're opening about 3 or 4 or 5 places over the next 12 to 18 months in Collins Square. All different different themes. And Sean and Joe have come on as our pastry team.
Right.
So in each venue, they'll have their, I guess, signature across the board. So going back to how you asked the question before, how could you do it? I think multi-venue, nearly under the same roof, with a team that can push out, I guess, across the board.
So you've got a strong back end. You're able to consolidate costs.
That's right.
In being able to produce.
It's really like a commissary kitchen then feeding out the restaurant. So then we're also going to be doing Baker and Evans, or Evans and Baker. What is it at the moment?
Yes, Baker and Evans.
Baker and Evans.
Look at his face. Well, he's just Evans and Baker.
Damn it, Pete, you've got books.
I'm just
and TV.
But we're going to be launching our catering business in March next year, and aiming for the corporate.
There's 100 some odd thousand people within a block of us. So.
And it's a market that is continually growing.
Mm. And that is both our backgrounds as well, is high volume catering. It's what I love to do, because whenever you do a catering event, just like last night, it's a very special occasion. Mm. It's either a launch or it's a party.
It's something,
it goes back to memories again.
Mm. Sure.
And that's what I love about the job that we do, is creating long-lasting memories.
You know, I think it's also it's also worth looking at it from the other way, in terms of, you know, what if we didn't open a restaurant? What if people just stopped opening restaurants, and there would you be? You know, it's...
We might have to go back to cooking at home, and what a disaster.
You might have to go back
to
cooking at home. You know, I think if there was no competition, then standards would slowly dip. You'd be forced to eat the same thing over and over again. I think morale would be back to the
70s, wouldn't we?
Yeah. So, I mean, the climate is either favorable or less than favorable, but we still have to move on. You know, it won't always be this way.
Bar Nacional is in Collins Square at 727 Collins Street in Docklands. Make sure you get down there Monday to Friday, somewhere between 7:30 and 9 o'clock. Visit the boys, have a beer, have some tapas, have some raciones. Just make sure you go and visit a Spanish beer. Why wouldn't you? It's in a desirable location with two very desirable men behind the business. Pete Evans, good to see you again.
Thanks, Pete.
Gavin, good to see you again.
Always a pleasure.
Continued success, I'm sure, and we'll watch this empire grow. We'll know to have your back as things... open over the next couple of years. Guys, good to see you.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks, Pete.
This is Cravings here on Joy 94.9. Very shortly, I'll be back. We'll be talking wine.
Hi, this is Guy Grossi, and you're listening to Joy 94.9.
Yes, you are listening to Joy 94.9. Up next, I'm going to be speaking to Anne Houlihan. She is from the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards. Or she will correct me, because I know that I think I've just sort of kind of mucked that up. But don't forget, we have giveaways for you folks. We have a double pass to the Organic Expo, the Sustained Natural and Organic Show, next weekend at the Royal Exhibition Buildings in Carlton. You can win that prize valued at... it doesn't have a value. You can also win a double pass to a Melbourne Wine Week event, a Cheese and Rhone style wine evening, France versus Australia at Milk the Cow. That's a wonderful little cheese shop. That's on Fitzroy Street, St Kilda. That's an event on the 27th of October. You can win that, or you can win a double pass valued at $190, a winemaker dinner with Queely at Red Spice Road. That is on the 29th of October. So all you have to do, text me your favourite Victorian wine, 0427JOY949. Is the text. You can email on air at joy.org.au. You can phone 1300 JOY949, speak to Heath sitting on the desk, or you can tweet to cravings_joy949. Now, Anne Houlihan is from the from Melbourne Wine Week. Anne, can you correct me and tell me exactly where you're from?
I'm actually from the Royal Agricultural Society of Victoria.
Thank you, RASV. I knew there was a shortened, but anywho. And you are one of the people behind Melbourne Wine Week.
I am.
Tell us about it. What's your favourite Victorian wine first?
Oh, I'd probably have to go with one of my fabulous committee members. It's a bit hard to actually do that, but I love David Bicknell's Chardonnay from Oak Ridge Wines in the Yarra Valley.
David Bicknell is a damn good bloke, and we love Oak Ridge Wines.
Yeah.
Mm. Now, Melbourne Wine Week, it is a vibrant and indulgent week of events, and it kicks off on the 25th of October.
It does.
So the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards, which have been judged over the last couple of days with a couple of international judges, I understand.
So we've just judged over the last week. So it's a 4-day event, and we had about 38 judges, and two of those were internationals. We generally have an international or two international judges each year. So we've judged just under 3,200 wines.
Wow.
About 541 wineries nationally. So
we're the largest
show in Australia, essentially.
Now, Joe Wodzak and Sarah Abbott were both here from the UK, if my memory serves me correct.
They were.
There we go. I've been paying attention. And then, so on the 25th, you've got, there's four special events that happen over that week. One at Collins Place, which is the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards Uncorked, which is a really nice tasting for people to go in and taste. I think it's about 300 of the wines.
Yeah, it's essentially all of the medal-winning wines. So we've had tastings before where it's been, you know, everything on offer, but we've really specialised down this year. So it's essentially all medals. So the trophies will be there as well. And in addition to that, we'll have some of our regional shows there too. So we've got four of the regional shows showcasing their best too. So we've got Gippsland, Heathcote, Geelong and the Yarra Valley. So they will be there pouring wines too.
No.
So it's the best of the state, really.
Well, that sounds very fancy. Now, you've also got on the Friday, the 25th of October, the WCA Trophy Winners Lunch and the Viticulture Society Book Launch, which is at Zinc at Fed Square.
It is, yeah. So the Viticulture Society and James Halliday, so James will be officially launching the book, but James has also rummaged through their wine cellar and has some fabulous vintage wines for people to taste as part of that experience. And then, of course, after the launch, it will roll into the lunch, which then showcases all of the trophy-winning wines again from the awards. So it's a fantastic lunch that Wine Communicators put on.
I've actually been to one or two of those lunches before.
I know, I've seen you there.
They are splendid.
It's
good
a great
fun.
Event. Mm. Yeah, it's a great event. But the addition of the Viticulture book is a fantastic one for the WCA.
Now, look, I've been having a bit of a look through the program of events, which is at the least extensive for Melbourne Wine Week. There are tasting events happening all over the place, and what I like is that Melbourne is behind you in a whole bunch of ways. So Prince Wine Store, City Wine Shop, The Botanical, Milk the Cow, Innocent Bystander, Collins Place. There's a whole raft of places just in the CBD alone, as well as some of the wineries hosting these tasting events.
Yeah, and this is the first year for us, so it was a bit of a dip of the, you know, putting the toe in the water, and it's really about opening up the experiences. I've got my 5-year-old screaming out, "Mummy, you still here?" So
that's all right. I've got one in the studio.
I lose concentration. That's why.
No, that's quite all right.
Yes, I am, Gabe. So it's a chance for us to actually show the fabulous wines and the wineries that are involved with the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards and to a consumer audience. So it's really about engaging those wines in Melbourne and Victoria, and they're national wines as well. So it's not just Victorian wineries that are involved. There are wines from the other state that are being featured in a whole range of different venues, as well as, again, some of the regional wineries themselves are hosting their own. But
yep.
There's something about 35 events this year, so it was a good kickoff for us, and we hope that will just continue to grow and build momentum. But it's really about engaging consumers with the Royal Melbourne Wine Awards brand, so people also understand what wine awards are about and how important they are in both for the industry, so that they get to benchmark their products and continually improve their products, because it's assessed by, you know, as I said, about 38 judges who are all incredibly prestigious in their own right, again, from across the country. So it's a great way for people to understand about wines and taste fantastic wines. And I guess the tagline for Melbourne Wine Week is life's too short to drink mediocre wine. So
well, look, and there is no greater advocate for that exact expression than my good self. Lunches and dinners as well. So from number 8, which is probably number 8 in Pay Modern, that sort of higher end of town, all the way down to you know, some of the wineries again are putting on some of their own events. Kooyong Lawn Tennis Club have got a little event. Josie Bones, the 2x2, the Living Room. I mean, again, across Melbourne and the sort of the outer suburbs, you've got some great restaurants involved in lunches and dinners as well.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, as I said, Maha, Pay Modern, Number 8, there's some fantastic venues involved. And, and some smaller, more unique spaces too. So the whole gamut's there, which is great for our first.
Excellent. If people want to go and know more about this event, they can go to which website?
So it's melbournewineweek.com.au.
Very good. Now, you'd be very pleased to know I've given away two of the prizes. The Winemaker Dinner with Queely at Red Spice Road, that's Jo from Richmond or Burnley, I think she told us she was from, and a double pass to the Cheese and Rind Style Wine Evening at Milk the Cow. We need to congratulate Mark from St Kilda. Thank you, Mark, for your message. I still have a double pass to the Sustain Natural and Organic Show to give away for next weekend. Do let us know if you would like to win that pass, because there's about 3 minutes to go. And really grateful for your time, and look, good luck with Melbourne Wine Week. I'm sure it's going to be a huge week, and no doubt you and I might actually bump into one another somewhere.
I think we might.
Yeah, it's highly possible. Thanks for your time today.
Fantastic, thanks.
Cheers, bye. That's Anne Houlihan. Cheers from the Royal Agricultural Society of Victoria. And they are behind Melbourne Wine Week. It's almost time for me to get the devil out of here. Coming up very shortly, Escape Pod, Mark and team will be in to deliver Escape Pod for you. And following that, the lads will be in from Fender Bender to keep you going with all things cars. Next weekend, we will have an outside broadcast that does actually combine the best of these three shows. So Cravings, Escape Pod and Fender Bender will be coming to you live from a location to be announced next Saturday, a collective outside broadcast. Thank you for your time today, folks. It's always good fun to have you listening. We're almost there. It is 3 minutes to two.
Joy 94.9.
Well, it's been a very busy hour. Thank you to Pete Evans and to Gavin Baker from Bar Nacional for popping by and having a bit of a chat with us. You can check out their website, Bar Nacional.com. Just put a C in place of the t.com.au. They're down at Collins Square. Thank you also to Anne Houlihan from the Royal Agricultural Society of Victoria, talking all things Melbourne Wine Week, and of course their website, melbournewineweek.com.au. Mark and Joe and a very, very special guest will be with you any moment to take you through an hour of travel on a skate pod before those fellows from Fender Bender come revving their way into the studio and take us for a bit of a drive. Lord only knows what they'll be talking about today. Thank you for for joining us on this very fine Melbourne day. We will, as I mentioned, have an outside broadcast next week. Cravings, Escape Pod and Fender Bender coming to you collectively from Yara Suzuki. We're looking forward to joining you. Until then, have a lovely afternoon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy94.9. Support Joy94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with Joy.